So, loving kindness meditation is a way of training the mind to be more loving and compassionate. And this is a really good thing, not just in terms of how we impact the world, but also in terms of how we feel as we travel through the world. Having a more loving and compassionate attitude or way of approaching the world is really essential for well-being. And so loving kindness practice helps with that. In fact, when the Buddha initially introduced loving kindness practice, he introduced it as an antidote to fear. Some of the monastic practitioners were feeling afraid, and he offered this practice in the context of helping them feel full-hearted and grounded and more content. And it achieved that goal. So I want to begin here as we begin to think about loving kindness with my part of my story with loving kindness. 12 years ago, I had already been practicing for 20 years. I had a regular daily mindfulness practice, and I'd been on two loving kindness, 7-night loving kindness retreats. And I did use loving kindness practice occasionally, but it wasn't part of my regular practice. And then life happened, and I found myself simultaneously unemployed and going through a divorce. And I was still doing my daily practice with mindfulness, but I was very sad, and I was afraid too. I was financially quite frightened. And days turned to weeks, turned to months, and I was pretty much locked into these difficult emotions. So I decided to make a change in my daily practice, and I just changed it completely for a number of months from a mindfulness practice to a loving kindness practice. So every morning I would get up and immediately go to the cushion and spend 30 to 45 minutes with a loving kindness meditation. And I'll talk more about how we do that, but many of you already know it's a phrase practice, and I was saying the phrases, the well wishes, for myself, for a benefactor, for a good friend, for a neutral person, for a difficult person, and for all beings. And I did this daily for several months. Oh, and it was a really important, warming practice for me. It didn't immediately change my circumstances. I had to go out in the world and do that. But it just warmed up my insides and made it more possible. I was less brittle and less reactive and more able to move in the world and make the changes I needed to become employed and eventually to date and marry someone else. Happened a few years later. But it was really that loving kindness practice was so foundational. It's sometimes taught that this energy of friendliness or loving kindness moisturizes the heart when it's too dry. It softens. And it makes the emotional body more supple and more receptive, more hopeful. So that was 12 years ago, but I still practice loving kindness every day. The way my practice goes now is I still get up in the morning and I immediately sit first thing, and I do mindfulness practice, followed by loving kindness practice. The whole thing takes 45 minutes to an hour. But I'm very devoted to loving kindness practice because I've seen in my own personal experience and also in the experience of those I know who do have a regular loving kindness practice, I've seen how it can impact. Sylvia Boorstein has this wonderful story about, well, she was going through a rough time, and we all do, and she was going through a rough time and she couldn't sleep. And she was just really plagued with worried, frightening thoughts. And so she just remembered that Buddha had brought it, you know, brought loving kindness initially into the field as an antidote to fear. And so she remembered that and she just practiced loving kindness all night long. And by the morning, she hadn't slept, but she felt a calm. Her heart had been softened, her fear had been softened and warmed. So it's my hope that as I talk with you tonight and we practice together tonight and you reflect tonight, it's my hope that I'll inspire you, or you're already inspired, and I'll support you on this path towards adding loving kindness or reigniting loving kindness as part of your regular practice. So our English word loving kindness is a translation of the ancient North Indian word metta. And the word metta comes from the Pali or Sanskrit word for friend. And that word for friend, meet, MIT is sometimes how it's spelled, comes from an earlier word prior to the word friend in Pali, which means the spreading out of kindness. Spreading out kindness, or it's often translated as fat with kindness, which I think is fantastic. So spreading out kindness, or fat with kindness. And it's really a, when you think of it that way, spreading out kindness, it's really an intentional practice of befriending. An intentional practice. The Dalai Lama describes it as the wish that all sentient beings be happy. Just letting your heart get that big. And just like, could we all just be happy? You know? So, when the Buddha initially taught the idea of loving kindness, he taught it in the way that it's come down through the ages is through what's called the Metta Sutta, or the teaching on loving kindness. And I'm going to read you a translation of the Metta, of part of the Metta Sutta, from the Buddhist scholar John Peacock. So you can imagine this being shared almost 2,600 years ago. May all beings be happy and secure. May all beings be happy-minded. Whatever living beings there may be, whether weak or strong, tall, medium, short, small, or big, seen or unseen, near or distant, born or to be born, may they, without exception, all be happy-minded. Let no one despise another or deceive anyone anywhere. Let no one, through anger or hatred, wish for another's suffering. As a mother would risk her own life to protect her child, her only child. So, for all beings, one should guard one's boundless heart. With boundless friendliness for the whole world, should one cultivate a boundless heart in all directions without obstruction, without hate, and without ill will, standing or walking, sitting or lying down, whenever one is awake, may one stay with this recollection. This is called the best and most sublime way of dwelling in this world. So I want to quote now Buddhist teacher Sharon Salzberg speaking about the meaning of loving kindness. She says, the Pali word metta has two root meanings. One is the word for gentle, Metta is likened to a gentle rain that falls upon the earth, as referring to what I was saying about how metta is said to moisturize, soften, make accessible. The other root meaning for metta is friend. To understand the power or the force of metta is to understand true friendship. The Buddha actually described at some length what he meant by being a good friend in the world. He talked about a good friend as someone who is constant in our times of happiness and also in our times of adversity or unhappiness. A friend will not forsake us when we're in trouble, nor rejoice in our misfortune. The Buddha describes a true friend as being a helper, someone who will protect us when we're unable to take care of ourselves, who will be a refuge to us when we're afraid. So that's the energy of loving kindness, what it's really embodying. The practice of loving kindness typically uses phrases or language as the vehicle of the meditation, which is quite different from mindfulness practice, which is actually asking us to set aside language and come into the present moment and just inhabit the direct, non-conceptual, direct experience of reality as it's arising in this moment. That's mindfulness. Loving kindness is quite different. The Buddha actually initially taught it not as a language practice particularly, but simply as radiating this goodwill out to the world. However, monastics 1,000 years ago, wanted to create a system that would work for more practitioners, because simply having the instruction, open your heart and radiate love, sounds good in theory, and the Beatles sang about it, all you need is love, but it's not so simple to practice. So 1,000 years ago in the Visuddhimagga, this really important Buddhist text, there was an adaptation of the Metta Sutta to create phrases or language that we can use to help us begin to create this radiating loving kindness. And there's huge value in this. You can reflect on the power of language. So just for fun, imagine, or just you can raise your hand if your video is on, or just reflect. Have you ever broken a bone? Okay, and has it healed? Mostly our answers will be yes. Has anyone here been hurt by words? Yes. Is there anyone who is still suffering from harsh words that were said years ago? Yes. Words can be very powerful for good or for ill. Very, very powerful, very, very impactful. There's a saying, be careful what you say to yourself because you are listening. And so we're training, we're using language of well-wishing to train the mind to offer language that is a befriending language towards ourselves and towards others. And the language in loving kindness practice involves repeated phrases. And when we can keep our attention honed there, we can reach a state of concentration. And concentration's wonderful for calm and for happiness. Concentration is a beloved factor of meditation because there's so much joy that can come from single focused mind. And loving kindness is a very effective concentration practice. So the calming aspect of loving kindness practice arises from the attention regulation of concentration, but also the calming aspect of loving kindness practice arises because the phrases themselves are comforting and soothing, or they can be, as long as we choose phrases that are resonant for us. And in a moment, in just a few minutes, we'll practice together, but I want to mention a couple other things. One is the teaching of the proximate cause of loving kindness. What we can do just in daily life so that this energy of friendliness arises more commonly in our systems. And that teaching is the proximate cause of loving kindness is seeing the good. Excuse me. Seeing the good in ourselves and others in the world, seeing the lovableness of beings. When you look at people, when you're out in the world, or just looking at us here on the screen with you now, you can know that every single person is special to someone. Every single person that you see is special to someone and important to someone. And every single person struggles. No one is exempt. And as you reflect that each one of us here, everyone you see as you go through your day, is special and struggles, can feel the goodness of the efforts, and just send a little well wishing. May you be well. The Buddha taught that the reason to pursue greater and greater degrees of loving kindness is because it's a cause for long-term happiness. Learning to hold people and life in kindness allows us to experience less stress and more ease. One of the cool things about living in this time is that in the last 20 years, there's been an explosion of research and neuroscience on the benefits of different practices, including loving kindness. And there's an impressive and rapidly expanding body of research on the benefits of kindness. Every single marker for well-being, physical health, mental health, relational ease, are all significantly positively impacted by kindness practice, loving kindness practice. And this is also true of mindfulness, and it's also true of gratitude. These are practices that have been taught in all spiritual traditions, but particularly mindfulness, particularly has arisen from Buddhism, but all of them increase well-being. But mindfulness, our loving kindness practice does more than increase happiness. It also helps diminish patterns of aversion. Friendliness can slowly replace habits of negatively judging ourselves and others. What a blessing! But it takes practice. So, aversion is considered the direct opposite of loving kindness. Aversion has a whole spectrum: irritation, impatience, jealousy, blame or self-blame, guilt, hatred, contempt. It really has a whole, from the smallest little annoyance to the worst, most terrifying hatred, it can really run the gamut. And the teaching in Buddhism is that it's a form of suffering, and it also creates suffering. It's a toxic suffering machine. It's just really bad. But we don't know that, and we've got this reactive brain, and we're not often taught about other ways of being in the world, and we can get reactive. And it's not to say that anger doesn't have a place. Righteous anger absolutely does have a place. To set boundaries, for clear seeing, to discern, to give us energy and courage. But when aversion becomes a pattern in the system or a habit, it creates distress. So loving kindness helps us set down habitual negative judgment or aversion and instead embrace warmth and friendliness. The 8th century Buddhist scholar Shantideva wrote, "We do not find peace, joy, rest, or strength when the thorn of hatred dwells in the heart." And Buddhist teacher Christina Feldman, this is a quote, she's another wonderful teacher. She says, "We may look back on our day and realize how often we've heard the voice of complaint, the eyes that highlight only the imperfect, and the numerous acts of avoidance we've engaged in. This awareness may be uncomfortable, yet it's the first step in sensitizing our hearts to the toxicity of ill will. Rather than inviting judgment or shame, it's an awareness that can be the beginning of a profound commitment to no longer consenting to aversion governing our hearts and committing ourselves to a life guided by immeasurable kindness." Aversion is considered the far enemy of loving kindness. And then there's also a near enemy, another opposite of loving kindness that can actually appear to be loving kindness. That's why it's called a near enemy, but it isn't. And this is the energy of attachment. When we cling to someone or something, there can be a kind of a neediness or a conditional love, a self-centeredness, I need you to make me happy, as opposed to I want to make you happy, which is actual love. James Beres, our own James, said in his book, Awakening Joy, quote, "When we want things or people or ideas to be a certain way, we're attached to them. And when they're not the way we want, which is often the case, we suffer. It's holding and resistance that causes the pain of attachment." And we can just pause here for a moment and just to get a clearer understanding, because like it's really clear the difference between loving kindness and aversion, but getting clear sometimes on the difference between loving kindness and attachment can be confusing, especially because the word attachment in English has a lot of positive connotations, like secure attachment in childhood, and I'm attached to my dog because she's so cute, and there's a lot of ways in which that word is fine. So just to clarify it, this little exercise also comes from James's wonderful book, Awakening Joy, which you can see I have read many, many times. And so this is just a quick, very, very quick practice to distinguish these two states. Okay, so bring to mind someone you love, a friend, a child, or perhaps a pet. Focus on how much you care about their well-being and happiness. And notice how good it feels to simply love that being. Okay, now turn your attention to something you want from this being. Maybe a certain behavior, attention, or reassurance or affection. And notice if the feelings in your body and your state of mind shift from openness to contraction. Or from a sense of fullness and connection to pulling back and closing down. And now let your thoughts return to the love and positive feelings you have for this being. And James goes on to say, when you notice that you're closing down to someone you love, stop for a moment and ask yourself whether you're attached to a particular agenda for that person or that animal. You may have reasonable expectations of others, and you might be annoyed if they don't fulfill them, but even through the disappointment, stay in touch with the love. So can you feel that difference? It's subtle, but it's so that when we're having conditioned love or attachment, it's not the same as this unconditional love of loving kindness. So the teachings, as I said, were adapted into traditional phrases meant to support our ability to radiate care. And the traditional phrases are wishes for safety, happiness or peace, health, and ease, which all support well-being. So I'm going to lead us now in loving kindness practice. It's going to last about 10 minutes. And you can just try it on and see how it lands for you. Whether or not you may have tons of experience with loving kindness. This is a certain adaptation. See how it goes. You might want to take a little stretch first, because we've been sitting here since 7:30 and it's 8:30. And then make yourself comfortable. If you like, you can close your eyes. So, the intention for loving kindness practice is to incline toward well-being. So, with that intention in mind, if you like, you can bring your hand to your heart or another supportive place. And let the hand, the warmth and gentle pressure of your hand convey a sense of care, a somatic signal to the body of this energy of loving kindness. And now bring to mind a being who naturally makes you smile. So, this could be a friend, a relative, a child, or an elder. Could be a pet or a friend's pet. Or even a bird outside your window. And if more than one come to mind, just for simplicity of practice, choose one for now. And if you can, create a visual image of this being or a felt sense, and spend a few moments here enjoying their company. And now we're going to offer these traditional well-wishing phrases to this being. So as best you can, keeping the visual image in your mind's eye or the felt sense. And from your heart, really feeling into your wish that this being be happy. And as I say these phrases, from your heart to this being, sending them these wishes. May you be safe. May you be peaceful. May you be as healthy as possible. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be peaceful. May you be as healthy as possible. May you live with ease. And now, keeping this being in your mind's eye, add yourself to the picture so that you're seeing both of you together. We're adding ourselves to our circle of care. And offering the phrases. May you and I be safe. May you and I be peaceful. May you and I be as healthy as possible. May you and I live with ease. May we be safe. May we be peaceful. May we be as healthy as possible. May we live with ease. And now, letting go of the visual image, perhaps thanking this being, saying goodbye for now. And turning your awareness to your present moment experience, feeling sensations in the body, rise and fall of breath. And again, if you like, you can bring a hand to heart. And we're going to practice with offering these phrases inwards to ourselves, strengthening the inner ally, the inner dear friend, the voice of care. May I be safe. May I be peaceful. May I be as healthy as possible. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be peaceful. May I be as healthy as possible. May I live with ease. And lastly, we're going to use our imaginations to travel around the earth, letting your mind's eye see whatever beings you see. It could be beings you know or beings you don't know, near or far away, of any type or size, human and animals, creatures of all kinds, thriving or suffering, young or old. Just letting your imagination bring in whatever it brings in and simultaneously offering these phrases, letting your heart feel this wish for the happiness of all. May we be safe. May we be peaceful. May we be as healthy as possible. May we live with ease. May we be safe. May we be peaceful. May we be as healthy as possible. May we live with ease. And now here at the end of the practice, just these last moments, allow your experience to be whatever it is and allow yourself to be just as you are. All right, and I'm going to close the talk with a poem. And then we'll do some Q&A, and then I'll do a song. This poem is called Because, and it's by Lisa Starr. Lately, she's been falling in love everywhere, at the market, in the pharmacy, always in the cafeteria, sliding her tray over the metal rails, last week with the hands of the attendant at the gas station. Sometimes it happens all day long. Yesterday at the campus, it was everything again, the way the postmaster was whistling, or how the frisbee players sing in the quad, the way some students stay after class, that usually gets her. Cashiers, people who sing at stoplights, all fair game. Cab drivers, forget it. With ice cream scoopers with their little paper hats, it's often love at first sight. And she'll never forget how, at the sandwich shop, the young man working said, "Anything to drink, miss?" to the 80-year-old woman in front of her. Then, when it was her turn, said, "Ma'am," instead. Later today, blessed by all this loving, she will make some tea and play a violin concerto for her dog, who is deaf. She will play the music as loud as it will go because she can, and because somehow he'll hear it, and he will stand on the porch of the fine yellow house, glowing. She will be all choked up because the lawn chairs have never been this green before, and because, tired ears flapping in a soft autumn breeze, the old dog will bark back his joy. Alrighty. So, any questions about practice, about that practice we just did, about the talk, about loving kindness, questions or comments? I see one in the chat. Can you repeat the two things for friendliness, special and struggling? Every person you see is special, and every person you see is struggling. Yep, it's true. And then once you remember that, sure, once you remember that, then you can say, "May you be well," in your mind. Okay. Oh, Wendy.
Hi, Eve.
Hi.
What a lovely talk. Thank you. Well, I guess the kind of the question I had is, why do you think it's so much harder to love ourselves than other people or other creatures? I'm pretty sure I'm not unique in that area.
You're definitely not unique in that area at all. It's also true that not everybody has that experience. So Wendy's question is, why is it harder to love ourselves than it is to love others? And it's an epidemic. Many, many, many. I forget there. The teachings on it are in Buddhism, present day Western Buddhism, are really interesting. There's stories about. You may have heard these stories before about the Dalai Lama hearing about self-hatred in Westerners and just not even being able to understand it and spending 10 solid minutes with his translators. Because in Tibetan culture, negative self-judgment and self-hate isn't even a thing. So it's not inborn to not be able to really love ourselves unconditionally. It's a cultural thing. And I think it has, or a societal thing, mainstream, dominant culture thing. But it is a huge, all the Western teachers admitted to having struggles with that. So it's a huge thing. And I think there are different analyses about why. I would say that the way the dominant Western culture tends to raise children leaves children with unmet needs. And when young children have unmet needs, they they developmentally aren't able to do anything except go to self-blame, which leaves masses of us with a core limiting belief around not good enough. And if we carry a core limiting belief around not good enough, then loving ourselves is antithetical to that. Yeah. So it requires repeated application. We both repeatedly say, may I hold myself in kindness? May I accept myself as I am? May I be safe and peaceful and healthy and at ease? We do that from one side of the wall of not good enough. And then from the other side, we encounter not good enough directly through mindfulness. And we just face it, feel the pain that it's holding. And just bring a lot of compassion to that false belief. It was a false belief all along. One of the things I love about Buddhism is that it teaches about Buddha nature. We're all inherently good. We're born good. We share a common true self, or a common true essence of care and curiosity and compassion and creativity. And everything, that's the sun of who we are, and everything else is clouds, and the clouds pass. So it's a long process, that healing, that core wound, and we're together in it. Yeah. And it's worth the effort. And loving kindness is definitely a key Buddhist strategy that works really well with that.
Thank you.
Thanks for the question, Wendy. Anything else? I guess I want to say just a little bit about practice. So if you're at all inspired, some of the things that modern science has shown make establishing a habit easier to do is to attach it to a pre-existing habit. So if you already have a daily mindfulness practice, attach your loving kindness practice to that, even adding on 5 minutes. Or if you don't have a daily mindfulness practice yet, you can attach a loving kindness practice to a habit like your coffee in the morning. You know, or brushing your teeth at night. Brush, 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 may you be safe. Brush, 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 may you be healthy. Brush, brush, brush. So attaching it to a pre-existing habit, making it doably short, realistically, that you'll do it. 5 minutes to start, if that's helpful. And then the third thing that brain science shows really helps with establishing habits is to give yourself a reward. And it can be just like a pat on the back, or a figurative pat on the back, or a little star on a chart, if you like stars on charts, some of us do, you know, or sing yourself a little song. It releases some dopamine in the brain and makes it more likely that you'll repeat the thing the next day. And also, you don't have to use the traditional phrases. You can create your own that speak to you. Okay, so I'm going to share a song with you. So I like to sing my phrases. I've written 2 songs with loving kindness phrases. This is one of them. You can find both of them on my website. Yeah. So if you know it, sing along. And if you don't know it, as soon as you get a sense of it, sing along. You're warmly invited. May I be safe and protected from inner and outer harm. May I be truly happy and deeply peaceful. May I be healthy and strong and physically at ease. May I take care of myself and live with well-being. May you be safe and protected from inner and outer harm. May you be truly happy and deeply peaceful. May you be healthy and strong and physically at ease. May you take care of yourself and live with well-being. May we be safe and protected from inner and outer harm. May we be truly happy and deeply peaceful. May we be healthy and strong and physically at ease. May we take care of ourselves and live with, let's do may we again. May we be safe and protected from inner and outer harm. May we be truly happy and deeply peaceful. May we be healthy and strong and physically at ease. May we take care of ourselves. All right. Any questions or comments about practice, about loving kindness? Anything that's hard or challenging or weird about it? Okay. All right. Oh, Jude.
Yeah, I just wanted.
Judith.
A teacher had said to me, sometimes when you practice, loving kindness, all of the blocks for it come up.
Yes. Thank you for saying that.
Not too discouraged by that and just to allow it as best as you can.
Oh, I'm so appreciative of you for bringing that up. Yes. I forgot to say that. And that's a really important thing to know as we practice that it's called purification. You froze, so I'm not sure how much of what you said I'm repeating. But I think I got the gist, which is that sometimes when we practice loving kindness, instead of this energy of friendliness arising, all this difficulty, bitterness, rage, resentment can arise. And not to be concerned by that, but to there's this saying, love reveals everything unlike itself. Yeah. And that's what happens. And there can be this revelation of non-love that shows up in the light of love, and that is okay. And that's part of the journey for many of us. Yeah. Thanks for that, Jude. All right, let us dedicate the merit. In Buddhist circles, it's understood that when we gather to practice mindfulness and loving kindness, and we gather in sangha and community, that we generate good energy. And that good energy is called merit. And then we take this wonderful generosity practice that we have, and we offer this merit out for the benefit of all beings, remembering that we too are part of all beings. But may our practice and our good intentions and our goodwill be for the benefit of all beings everywhere. And then the song that I bring to sing for the dedication of merit comes from the Pure Land tradition of Buddhism, translated from the Mandarin by the Reverend Hung Shur, the abbot of the Berkeley Buddhist Monastery. Every living being, our minds as one and radiant with light. Share the fruits of peace with hearts of goodness, luminous and bright. If people hear and see how hands and hearts can find in giving unity. May our minds awake to great compassion, wisdom, and to joy. May kindness find reward. May all who sorrow leave our grief and pain. May this boundless light meet the darkness of our sacred night. Because our hearts are one, this world of pain turns into paradise. May all become compassionate and wise. May all become compassionate and wise. All right. Good night, sweet dreams.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.